We were doing the Gemara in Erechin. The Gemara had discussed the idea that we shouldn't give rebuke, we should not give tochacha, because we don't know how to give it, and people don't know how to receive it. The Gemara had discussed in its ideal form how far should one go in giving tochacha. The Gemara had said to the point where he hits you, to the point where he curses you, to the point where he yells at you, and the Gemara proved all three opinions from the story of Shaul and Yonatan, how far Yonatan went in arguing with his father about his father's treatment of David. So you see, we learn from Yonatan to what degree you're supposed to go when you think someone's doing something wrong. Here we see, by the way, that Yonatan was on the level that he could give tochacha. Shaul was on the level that he could receive tochacha. And ultimately, when Shaul is ready to hit Yonatan, that's when Yonatan says, okay, obviously I shouldn't give any more tochacha. I went as far as I was supposed to go. Tochacha. I'm saying tochacha is rebuke.
Rebuke,
telling someone they did something wrong. So the Gemara had said, you don't rebuke someone. The Gemara said, you don't rebuke someone unless you know they'll love you more for it. They're on the level where they'll appreciate it. Okay, so Yonatan felt Shaul was on that level, which coincides with what we know about Shaul, that he was very, very pious.
Where are we in the
Gemara? Ad Hei Chan. Okay, where's that on the page? About 20 lines from the bottom. The last word were on Tetzayin Amud Bet in Eruchin. And the last word on the line is Adam. Okay? The last word on the line is the word Adam. Ad Heichan lo yeshane Adam v'achsanya shelo. How far should a person go so as not to change the place where he sleeps? If you always go to a certain host, how far should you go to be consistent with that host? So Rav Amar Ad Haka'ah. Rav says to the point of hitting, Shmuel Amar Ad Shiv Shilulo Kilav La'acharav, till they're ready to throw his stuff behind them. What does that mean? So the Gemara is going to explain. If you're going to come to blows and try to insist that someone is your guest, then obviously that's not right. What happens if the wife isn't happy with the guest? So should you still be a guest if the host wants you, if the host is sending you hints and he's going to toss your clothing out the window, is that a sign that's how far you should go to be a constant guest by him? What happens if the wife is ready to beat you up? The Gemara says, even if you'll say, but the husband is happy, I'm coming, but it's not a good idea. They'll end up getting into fights. So don't be a guest where either the husband or the wife is ready to punch you in the nose. You have to stop being a guest when either side is not so happy. V'chokach lama, damamar, achsanai pogem v'nifgam. Why does it matter if you leave your host? Because if you came to a city, and everyone knows you came to that city to be a guest by your brother, and now you suddenly leave your brother and everyone sees you go to a hotel room. So two things happen when that happens. Number one, people say, what a brother you got. You can't stay by him. You came to visit town for a week or 2 weeks and your brother. And the other thing that people say is, what kind of guy are you that you couldn't get along with your brother for 2 weeks? So you could choose in advance not to be there. But if you come to town, remember once upon a time when you came to town, it was a given that someone would take you in. People used to go to a Jewish town and they didn't know where they'd sleep. When I came to Israel, when people used to hitchhike, when people used to hike throughout Israel, it was known that you'd go to shul in the evening and daven ma'ariv, and then you'd get invitations to go eat by people. I'm talking about 20 years ago. 20 years ago, it was known throughout Israel that you could go hiking, because during your hike, you didn't have to worry about dinner. You just had to worry to get to that yeshuv, to the closest yeshuv dinner time, because people would invite you in and you'd have dinner. It was a given, and you'd get to meet new people. And it's still like that? Okay, I hope so. Okay. Okay. So, it also used to be longer term, though. If you had to come to a city for a week or whatever, so it was a given that if you started by someone, you continued staying by them. And if you switched, then people would say something's wrong with the host and something's wrong with the guest. Both of them would get a bad reputation. So that's why the Gemara says, how far should you go to stay by the same host? Do you reach the point where they're ready to throw your suitcase out the window? Do you reach the point where the owner of the house is ready to hit you in the face, or his wife? Yes.
Why is the host worrying about his reputation of the guest? The guest is going to go back to his town, and nobody knows who he is.
Maybe, maybe not. Maybe. But maybe if he came once, he'll come again. And maybe reputation follows a person.
How far is the next town?
Okay. We move forward. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Minayin Shloish Adam Bechsan Yeshlo Min HaTorah. Where do we see in the Torah this idea that you continue staying in the same place? It says when Avram was traveling that he kept going LaMakom SheYasham Olo BaTchila. He kept returning to the same place where he had camped his tent earlier. Rabbi Yosef Reb Chanina says V'Yelech LeMasav. You have another verse that says he traveled the same journey. Every time he traveled, he would travel through the same place, and he would camp in the same hosts. The difference is, if Avram also repeatedly visited the places where he ended up camping inadvertently, where it wasn't pre-planned. Sometimes the sun would set, and he'd just have to pitch tent there. Would he revisit that place too? Vayelech lemasav means every place he camped earlier, he recamped in that place, even if he happened to camp there just because the time forced him there. Elamakom asher haya sham olo batchila means the places where he intentionally camped, those were the places he revisited. But the places where he just happened to camp, he didn't. That's interesting, these two opinions. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, minayin shlo yishneh adam umanoto umanuta avotav. How do we know that a person should not leave the skill, the trade, that he always did and his forefathers always did? How do we know? Because it says when King Solomon summoned Hiram, Hiram was a person whose father would also form things of copper, and so Hiram was also very skilled in that. We see also Oliav ben Achisamach from the tribe of Dan also. Okay, so that's this idea. If you have a family trade, it's good to stay in the family trade, so long as you can stay in the family trade. Obviously, you know, if your father used to trade donkeys and then Ford develops the car, you might have a problem staying in the family trade. There are cars now. If your family develops the railroad and now they're stopping to use, there are planes and automobiles and trucks and the railroads are of less use, you might have trouble doing the family trade. But when it's relevant, if your father was a diamond dealer and your grandfather was a diamond dealer, then it's a good idea to stick to the family trade.
How is that approved?
Because why does the Pasuk bother mentioning that Hiram's father was also in the trade? The Navi mentions Hiram was an orphan, but his father was also good at this. So it's telling you that that's a good reason to stay in the family business. Adechan techlit yisurin. What's the epitome? What is the smallest size of afflictions that a person can say, in heaven they did this to me, and I have to deal with it? Amar Rabbi Elazar, ko shagul obeg lilvosh menom tkabel alav. Rabbi Elazar says, you went to the tailor, you ordered a garment, and when you come to pick it up, it's not the right size. So that's in heaven, they decided you should deal with that. It's upsetting. You assumed you'd have the garment to wear, and when you come to try it on, it's the wrong size. So that's the smallest amount that from heaven they would cause a person affliction. Matkiv la Rava Zeira. So Rava Zeira or Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani says that's not the smallest affliction. The smallest is even if you wanted them to give you a hot drink and they gave you a cold drink and they gave you a hot drink. That's a much smaller annoyance than the
proofs?
What?
Where do they get these proofs?
They're quotes. He's quoting from an earlier source. So he says, you see, even there, part of the question here is, how sensitive do I have to be that the Ribbono Shel Olam did this to me? Meaning there are people that the smallest thing, they say, oh, why did Hashem do this to me? Why did Hashem do that to me? So the Gemara, the first opinion in the Gemara is, it's got to be a pretty big annoyance in order for it to be something that you feel like it happened from Shemayim. Everything else is the way life goes. You stick your hand to your pocket, the wrong coin comes out, that happens. Little things, you're about to reach the traffic light and it turns red, life happens, it's part of life. Someone steals your phone, that's a good question.
You should never be upset. Because if you get upset, then it will ruin it. Right?
That's a different question. The question is, do I see God's hand in it, or do I say this is a part of life? So we saw in the Gemara in Shabbos that the Gemara said that even when they built the Mishkan, sometimes things went bad, sometimes the moth ate some of the cloth. You'd think, who's Hashem punishing? Why would parts of the Beis HaMikdash go bad? Why would parts get lost? What is it? It's my problem. It's the Mishkan's problem. Mele, you say in a shul, but in the Mishkan, everything's done with the right intentions and everything's perfect. So why did things go bad? Why did they sometimes have to fix things? You see, there is such a concept. Things happen. Don't expect it not to happen. So the Gemara is saying it. At which point do I have to be concerned? If this is happening, their Ribbono Shel Olam is telling me something. I have to. I'm being said that they're telling me something from them. And I think that a person having an issue with his phone is a much bigger annoyance. His phone is stolen. The water ruins it or something. That's a much bigger annoyance than finding that the suit you ordered is not the right size. I think a suit the person buys for 500, 600, 700 shekel. A phone is twice that, three times that, I think. I mean, I buy phones for 200 shekel, but most people don't. Saying,
I think that, if taking the wrong coin out could be an annoyance for, the bus driver when there's a line of 10 people who are all paying with coins to get on the bus.
Let's see. The Gemara isn't finished. I gave that example. Wait. We'll get there. The Gemara is going to give that. So the third opinion says, "Afilu nefach lo chaluko." Even if a person was putting on his shirt and suddenly realizes he got it inside out, and now he has to undo it, you'll ask me, who does that? And I'll tell you, if you ever tried getting dressed when it was dark, like Shavuos morning at 3 o'clock, you could end up leaving the house and discovering, I once left the house and I got to shul, and I suddenly discovered I was still wearing my Crocs. Right? I hadn't put on shoes. I don't usually leave the house with Crocs on. And I get to shul and suddenly I see I'm wearing Crocs. Okay? So if you're getting dressed in the dark, in their day and age, you didn't have that much light in the middle of the night. So yeah, you could leave the house and suddenly find out you put your shirt upside down. So even that, you should know that's something from the heaven they gave you to deal with. Rava said, or Rav Chista said, and Rav Yitzchak said, and others quoted from a Braisa, even if you stuck your hand into your pocket and you meant to take out 3 coins and you took out 2 coins, so that's an annoyance. You have to stick your hand back in and take out another coin. So that's been decided in heaven. So the Gemara says, but only if you meant to take out 3 and you took out 2. But if you meant to take out 2 and you took out 3, that's okay. Because you'll, what's the big deal? You have the 2 you need. So the Gemara says, why do you care? What difference does it make if this is an affliction from heaven or not? So I said, it makes a big difference. How much I'm supposed to think in Shamayim, they're looking at everything I'm doing. The Gemara says a different reason. The Gemara says it's a positive. Because if you have 40 days and you have no afflictions, that's a sign that in heaven they're done with you. They've given you all your pleasure in this world. So you have to have some things you have to deal with.
How do they get to that conclusion? I would have thought the opposite. I would have thought you have no more...
No. Bad things. So the Gemara says everyone has things they have to pay their bill for. We all have outstanding bills. If you have nothing going wrong in your life in 40 days, that means in Shemayim they're saying you have no portion in the world to come. We'll give it all to you in this world. So what's considered an affliction they gave me from Shemayim, that's any one of these things. Is the assumption is everyone has bills, everyone's done something wrong. And all these little things, they all add up to help us clean our bill. So that's a positive thing. It's not a negative thing. Rambam says that this is a big machlokas. Rambam says, look throughout Shas, you'll see different opinions as to whether Hashem is watching how many coins you take out of a pocket or not. And so the Rambam says, this is just one opinion. We don't go with this opinion. Well, yeah, there are bone shams involved in how many coins you take out of your pocket. Rambam says, no. That's an opinion that's not accepted, bottom line. Says that's the Rambam's understanding. The way we read the Gemara, it's not such an annoyance if Hashem's involved in that. If it's a way I pay my bills, fine, I'll pay my bills that way. Yeah. Okay, so that's what we came here for. We came here in order to see that line. Adechan Tachlit Yisurin. That's what Rav Achan Wasserman sent us to this page of Talmud.